Yesterday was the first quiz of 2016 for the children, and Jacqueline and Jocelyn and Ted and I went to Mountain Grove, and there weren't very many people there, but when there's a quiz in the far western part of Missouri, the people who are on the eastern, or the far eastern part of Missouri, the people who are on the western part, like Joplin and Lamar and those people, go to the Kansas one because it's closer to them. So we didn't have very many people yesterday, and on the way down there, Jacqueline started feeling bad, so when we got there, she didn't even do the quiz. But Jocelyn did. So Jocelyn missed a total of seven questions out of 45 yesterday. So she got a bronze ribbon. She did not do her memory work. January is a horrible, horrible quiz because the kids have gone through Christmas, and it's been since November since they've quizzed. But we're getting all geared up for our February quiz, aren't we? And we will have finished all of our studies by then, so we'll have questions over 20 dig sites and 20 memory works to do. So, thanks.
time you are worship, greet one another this morning. Good morning. It is great to see all of you this morning.
Thank you.
Even Pastor Gary. So, caught me off guard there. So, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is good to see you all this morning. Some of you that were out and about traveling for the holidays, some of you that were sick over the last week or so are back, so it is good to see all of you. Then we also have some more visitors here this morning. It is always great to see you this morning, so we do want to say welcome and good morning to everyone this morning. If you would quickly turn with me to your bulletin, I've got several different announcements that I want to touch on. The first one being, if you are part of my SDMI committee, we will be meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock right before church. We've got several things that we need to discuss, so if you are a part of that, please try to be here at 5 o'clock for that this evening. Then also tonight is the deadline for any of you ladies that are wanting to be a part of the ladies' retreat. If you have any questions, concerns, or just want to know any more information on that, talk to Paula about that. Call her. She can get you that information. But tonight is the deadline for that Giggles Ladies Retreat. Then this Thursday, for you seniors, there is a potluck luncheon. It will be soup and sandwiches. Pastor said if you all will make the soup, he'll bring stuff for the sandwiches. And there is a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. If you could sign up for that, that way he kind of has an idea of, on how many to plan and provide for. Also, if there's enough of you, I heard that there might be a guest speaker. So if you could,
anybody 50 and over.
So sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. Also, out on the Welcome Center, there's a sign-up sheet for our men's ministry breakfast. That is this Saturday morning, 8 o'clock here at the church. We've been doing this for the last several months on the fourth Saturday, of the month. So that'll be 8 o'clock this Saturday morning. Please sign up again so we have an idea of how many to provide for that event. This coming Sunday is our dogs celebration luncheon, so bring a potluck item for that. As I said, tonight is the deadline for that Giggles retreat. It will be the 29th through the 31st down in Branson. And then the last thing I want to mention, we've got a couple more weeks left of January, so a couple more weeks that we are going to be in prayer for our Century School building. That is our focus for this month for our pastries and prayer. So remember to be in prayer for that particular school building.
Ben, there's an item on there that I just got information about last week. If you look down about the 5th of February, there's a program on there called Hot Soup Cold Nights. That is done by the Christian County Homeless Alliance. That's actually a fundraiser supper at Redeemer Lutheran Church on 14 Highway. If you have an interest in being aware of the homelessness that exists in Christian County and contributing money to, indeed, they will eventually start serving meals to help out some of those folks. That's what that fundraiser is.
Okay. In case you couldn't hear all that, February 5th, you'll see in your bulletin, Hot Soup Cold Nights fundraiser at the Redeemer Lutheran Church. It's a new program that's starting up, and that'll be from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We'll probably have some more information as that date comes closer. And there is a flyer out on the bulletin board, so thank you.
I gave up on myself a long time ago. I just couldn't give it up. And it has ruined my life. It just got too easy to live like this and too hard to live another way. Hope is not something I can find alone. And I am all alone.
It was a terrifying storm. But now, I'm even more terrified. What do we do? How can we go on from here? I'm scared. I'm really scared. We need help.
I work hard to give my son a life that I did not get, but it never seems like that chance comes. If he only had a chance to go to school, all he needs is a small opportunity. Am I missing something?
At first I thought they wanted something from me. I didn't want to trust them. But they never asked for a thing. All they did was give. They truly wanted me to get back on my feet, whatever it took. Support, schooling, and most of all, a way out of my alcohol. These were the greatest gifts. All of this restored my hope.
I knew people would come help. That's what people do. They knew what we needed, and they really took care of us.
Could it really be happening? Is this the opportunity that we have been waiting for? Will this give my son a different life?
I've come a long way, and now purpose fills my every step. I'm free because someone believed that hope is not dead. Now I can give that hope to someone else.
We still have a long way to go. But our future looks bright. When we lost our home, the Nazarene family was there to help us get back on our feet. There's no way we could have done it alone.
Because someone gave, he has the opportunity for a better life. I may never meet them, but they have all my gratitude.
Touch that, I guess. There's something, yeah. If our ushers would come as we prepare for this morning's offering, Pastor Don is not here this morning. He's, if you just remember to pray for Pastor Don, he's very, very sick. But while the ushers are coming, how many of you were here last year when we did the Summer for Souls programs? And it wasn't just a program, it was several. And let me say this, because of your faithfulness and generosity, if you look at your bulletin to see, we're almost $20,000 ahead of projected income. So what that's going to allow us to do as a church is to do the Summer for Souls program again this coming year. And we saw good results from that this year. And I think everybody was excited about it. It gave us, a push we needed in the right direction. And we plan on doing some of those very same things this summer, and maybe adding one or two to those. If we're not doing outreach, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And I just thank you for your faithfulness. Because of that faithfulness, we can do these outreach programs. We're not worried about, I know God is faithful. He could provide the money, but it's nice to be able to have the money to start, do these programs, and touch people's lives in our community. So once again, just thank you. I know it's your church, but thank you anyway, from your church to you. So this morning, let's go to prayer this morning as we prepare an offering. Our Father, we thank you this morning for how you have blessed us as a church and as a people, as individuals. And not just financially, Lord. You bestow blessings upon us so many ways, and we just thank you for that this morning. But we ask you now, Lord, as we prepare an offering to give back to you, how you have blessed us financially and touched us, that it might go to truly further thy kingdom and touch in these outreach programs we have planned for the upcoming year. These things we pray in Christ's name this morning. Amen.
You know. that makes me just want to break into a chorus of, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, it just the songwriters through the years have been able to adequately put things that sometimes we feel, but we can't think of the words. Then we start singing these songs, and out of us pours all of this theology. I love praise choruses, but I love the great hymns of the church and all of the spiritual and scriptural truths that are integrated into both. Because that's what we're here for, folks. We're here to hear the word of the Lord. You know, we can have technology, and we can have lighting, and we can have all kinds of things. That helps set an atmosphere and those kind of things. But we're here to hear from God. We're not here to be entertained. We're not here to put on a good show. We're here to put ourselves into the throne room of God so that He can speak to us, that He can encourage us, that He can remind us that He loves us and He's got all of our situations in the palm of His hand. And it's so big that there's still room left over for more stuff. And He loves us and He's going to see us through. So as we approach this prayer time, we come according to Scripture with boldness and with confidence that there is a God in heaven who loves us, sees us as His creation and His children, wants the best for us. Now, just like our parents who know more than we did as kids growing up, He doesn't always give us exactly what we ask for, exactly the way we want it, because He knows a few more things than we do sometimes. But He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient. And so there's absolutely no reason for us not to cast ourselves in utter abandon into His lap to receive His grace and mercy that we've been singing about this morning, and then to know that He has blessing and benefit that goes beyond just the salvation of our soul, and that He wants to provide to us a good life, and He wants indeed for others to see that and be attracted to Him as well through our blessing and benefit. And so we just have the greatest opportunity in the world to share Jesus. But right here this morning, we're refueling. We're filling up. Because if indeed you're spilling out the Holy Spirit of God into the lives of other people, when you give out, you got to take in a little. We're here this morning to receive, to refuel, to be refreshed. And as we go from this place, then in the course of our week, we continue to let that Spirit. We just want to be a channel. You know, somebody said, turn your cup up. I don't know if I want to be a cup or not. I think I just want to be a pipe. Now, not the kind you smoke. One that things flow through. You know, I don't want to just get some and then turn over. I just want God just to flow through me all the time. He can come in one and go out the other, you know. Just get on people. That's what we want. And then there are days we need God to get on us. We go through some challenging times, discouraging times. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're discouraged about anything, if you're being oppressed about anything, I encourage you as we sing just to make your way down to this altar of prayer and just lay it right on that altar and leave it there. Give it to God and let Him handle it, because He can do that. He can handle it better than you can. And He said, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you can use a little rest once in a while? All right. Well, we want to remember some things. We indeed want to remember Pastor Don, Sister Iris, and Autumn Caldwell, who I know are away from us sick this morning. There are probably some others that may be that I've not gotten direct contact on yet, but I'm aware of those specifically. We want to remember Bert Mills, who is recovering in rehab. We want to remember Hazel Davis, who has an appointment, I think, on the 1st of February to have her shoulder checked. She's really having some shoulder problems and some pain. So she just needs to know that we're praying for her. Send her a card of encouragement. Make a phone call. Just let her know you're thinking about it. That'd be great. Call Pastor Don and say, where in the world were you? You're supposed to be up there in the pulpit and helping out. And where were you? Nah, just tell him you love him and you're praying for him. And we miss him when he's not here. He's a great team player, and we appreciate his help. I'm so glad to have him as part of our staff. And so you let him know that you're thinking about him. Send him a card or something. That'd be greatly appreciated. Let Iris know you missed her this morning, a little phone call or whatever. And just you know, we just need to know that we're praying for one another. You know, it just helps once in a while to know somebody's thinking about you. Man, it gets me charged up. Somebody meet me out in the foyer and say, "Pastor, I prayed for you this week." Man, I need that. I need that. There's not one of us here that doesn't need to know somebody's holding us up. So if you're here this morning, you need a place just to lay burdens down, you come here. But, you know, maybe there's somebody here who's had a fantastic week. Maybe God's just blessed you more than you deserve, and you're just so happy about it. You're just spilling over. You just need to lift up some praise to God and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being so good to me." You can come do that here too. It's your place to meet with your God this morning, the only God, Jehovah God. And continue to pray over these things that are in our bulletin. Pray one for another. God is helping us, and He has so much more for us. We want to get in on whatever it is He has for us. So let's sing, and as we sing, you come, and we're going to lift our voices in prayer.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. To me, to me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. Because He first loved me. Oh, how
Father, we are so grateful to You. We are so happy to be in Your house today. Lord, over these last few weeks, we've had all kinds of family gatherings. I look forward to going to my mama's house, see my brothers and sisters. Look forward to going to my in-laws' house and seeing all the family that I'm married into has loved me for all these years. And I look forward to going and being in other extended family members' homes. We had just multiple occasions to gather, even yesterday, wrapping up one final Christmas. Lord, we're glad to be gathered in Your house today. We're glad to come in. I can remember so many times before my daddy died, walking in the door of the house, hugging my dad's and mom's necks, and just feeling like I never left the place. Lord, that's how You want it for us. You want us to know where home is. You want us to know where help is. You want us to know where hope is. And oh Lord, we thank You and we praise You and we come to You today. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We want to be a grateful people. Lord, we love You and appreciate You for every blessing that You have given, everything that You have done on our behalf. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we're needy people as well, because we can't do everything for ourselves. We try to do as much as we can. We thank You for Your help and Your power and Your presence. Lord, there's just a lot of things that we just have to lay over and give to You. But we trust you. As the word tells us that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. That you are the great physician. That you are the healer. And by your stripes we are healed. And so, Father, we're going to claim all of that grace and goodness that you've got for us. We want it. We want it, Lord. We want forgiveness. We want mercy. We want love. We want your power, your presence. We want your purity. We want your holiness. Lord, this is a corrupt old world. We want your purity in our lives. Lord, the Bible says to separate ourselves from everything that contaminates. Lord, help us to have discernment. Help us to see when those things are coming our way. That's not a good thing. That's going to contaminate our relationship with God. That's going to get in the way. Lord, help us to be wise. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not. So, Father, we're asking for wisdom today. Lord, we'll just go down the whole wish list, whatever you've got there. The Bible's almost like the Sears catalog at Christmas. We can just look in there and find all kinds of things that God has for us. Lord, we want it all. We just want to be totally yours. We want to be sold out, surrendered, yielded. Lord, we just want you to pour yourself in us, through us. Let us spill over into the lives of others that we meet. Let them see Jesus. Lord, take this corrupted, flawed human body and mind and spirit. Touch it by your grace. And then, Lord, empower us to live clean lives. Empower us to do right things. Lord, help us to quit making excuses. We don't want to continue in sin so that grace can abound. We want to be holy. Lord, we just pray that you'd fill us up. Lord, we know you can touch every situation in our life, every detail. You know it all ahead of time. So, Lord, we just acknowledge for our own benefit our need today, lay it out before you. We thank you for your healing power and presence. Lord, we thank you for these who have been having surgery and are healing. And we thank you for those that are going to have surgery, that you'll heal them. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon the situations of our lives. Lord, there may be struggles. Here it is January. Your credit card bill is going to come due. And Christmas is going to be all over it. Lord, will you just take care of us, provide for us, help us to have wisdom in our expenditures, and help us, Lord, to make right choices with our finances and with our family and with our future. And Lord, we just know that you can help us at every point. So, Lord, we want you this morning. We want you. Lord, help us to want you more than we want anything or anyone else. Lord, make this church a lighthouse to this community. Let the beam of hope go out from this place. Because we believe there are people in this world that are lost and hurting. Lord, shine a light on them so they can see a place to come and find help. To find the Savior, to find Jesus, to find Almighty God the Father. And to crawl up into His lap of love and be changed forever and have the hope of eternity. Lord, we're here for a purpose. You've got a plan. You've got a mission for our church. Lord, just help us fulfill the mission and plan for our lives and for this church. And Lord, help us to make a difference in this community for the sake of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. We love you. We thank you. We trust you with our sicknesses. We trust you with our situations. Lord, thank you for answers and solutions. Give you praise because you indeed are worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We love you and we thank you for loving us back. Loving us first. We loved you back. It's good to be in your presence, Lord. Thanks for letting us crawl up in your lap. We're going to wrap our arms around your neck and tell you we love you. It's in the powerful and precious name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask all these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Ted, we're going to make a last-minute change, but I know you're flexible here. Somewhere between Sunday school and church, I suddenly seem to have not much voice. And I was going to tell Pastor Gary I can't sing the song. And then the mission moment came on. At the end of it, the screen went dark and there was a line that said, "Restored Hope." The song I'm singing this morning is "Prisoner of Hope." But since I'm not sure I'm going to make it through the song, we're going to do something a little different. If you would switch to track one, I'm going to sing the song with the Gaither Vocal Band. I've never done that before, so we'll try it in that way. We'll have words and music and we'll keep going.
Everyone knows there is pain in this life. We've all seen our shares of tears. But I choose to live on the positive side, and I won't be held hostage by fear. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope. Some people doubt what they don't understand, but I know what's true in my heart. Now I can't control what's out of my hands, but I can lay back in your arms. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace.
I'm free
to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope.
Well, praise the Lord. How many of you believe God's in this place? How many believe God's in this place? That's what counts, because if He's there, He's always going to be here. Because He comes with you. Man, you look good. Thank you. That's because my wife bought me a nice shirt and tie for Christmas, and I wore it. So many of you have been so kind and said, "That looks nice." I can't take any credit for it. I just put it on, you know. She picked it out. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for letting us slide in that last little bit of vacation we had left from 2015 to see Jennifer's family. They're back safely from Europe. And we had a great time with her brothers and sisters and her mom and dad last weekend. We saw some more of her extended family yesterday in Miller, Missouri. And she has a batch that meets kind of like I have a batch that meets here in the church. You know, we both got big families and they both like to get together. And so, man, there's just always stuff going on. And next Saturday, I have to be in Olathe, Kansas, because Felix is having his first birthday. So I can't miss that one. And so we're going to have a good time there. We'll be back here on Sunday morning, ready to roll. And we'll pray that the Lord gets us all prepped up and ready before we ever leave on Friday evening, in the evening. And we'll be ready to roll on Sunday and celebrate together again. And some of you have been asking, and some of you have been telling, and some of you have been telling different things. So let me help everybody get this correct. My surgery is on the 26th. Some of you said they thought it was on the 23rd, and some are on the 27th. I just want to do it one time. 26th, I don't know what time yet, but that's the day it's scheduled. Tuesday the 26th, I'll do a total knee replacement in the right knee. And then if all goes well, a few weeks down the road, we'll do the second one so that I can be up and running by summertime. And so anyway, thank you for your prayers and your support of all of that. You have encouraged me to get that done. I've hated to take the time off. Couldn't figure out when to do it, but just seems like it's kind of reached the point now where it needs to be done. So thank you for your interest and your prayers. We feel your prayers. We feel the support of this great church family. And I just want to tell you that that there's some people, as it was, we've had different new people come through over the last year. They talk about what fine folk you are. And I get to say to them, when they say, you have such wonderful people in your church. And I get to say, I know that. And that I don't mean that to be arrogant, but I'm honored. Why do you think I've stayed here 30 years? Because you've been patient and kind. And you took me when I was still kind of green behind the ears, and you've raised me and burped me and everything else, and we've grown together, and we've had a good time. But there's so much more to be done. Last year was an exciting year, 2015. Some of the things that we tried, and the way you gave, and thank you, Pat. Pat's the chairman of our finance committee. And the vice president, basically, of the church corporation. He's secretary of our church board. So he thinks about those things during the week, too. And appreciate. I just, you see what happens when you just obey God? Tremendous things happen. Now, I'm encouraged because Pat was telling you that in your bulletin, if you look in there, we're $20,000 ahead of our projected income. What he didn't tell you was that last year when we left the budget meeting, our projected income was $10,000 less than our projected expense. So that makes us about $10,000 ahead of just paying the bills. So when you gave that extra, you know, $3,000, $3,500 back during the summer to let us launch that outreach program, that was big. That was big. And not only did you give as God had blessed you financially, but you gave your time, because it took some man hours to do some of that stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in part of this message today and the challenge of 2016 that is before us, because I want to talk to you about God's directives for a great church. God's directives for a great church. And I have your Bibles. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. You're not going to hear anything here today that's brand new or anything. Now, some of it you might have forgot about. Some of it maybe you haven't heard of. But for the most part, what we're talking about this morning is fundamentals. I coached and reffed kids youth sports for about 17 years. And I always had younger kids. And my favorite group was first and second grade boys, to ref first and second grade boys, because you get to kind of teach and watch them grow from the first game of the year to the last game of the season. They grow immensely, and it's fun to watch that change. But you preach fundamentals, because every one of those first and second grade boys has watched the NBA on TV, and they all think that they're Kobe Bryant. But it helps if they can dribble the ball, not their bodies down the floor, you know. And I got tickled because I was watching my grandson play basketball yesterday. And Some kid pulled the rebound down. This is kindergartners, basically. Pulled the rebound down. His eyes got about this big. The goal's all the way at the other end of the floor. He dribbled one time, put that thing under his arm, and he looked like a running back in the NFL. He headed right down the... And nobody blew a whistle, and nobody stopped him. He was headed for the basket. And they're so creative at that age. They can do things that the rules don't even allow. If they got some great spin moves. They dribble once and there's like, and they play herd ball. When you're playing in kindergarten, you play herd ball. That means wherever the ball is, everybody's there. And these coaches are yelling, get your hands up. And they're getting their hands up, you know. And they see mom and dad. The guy dribbles fast, you know. But they'll dribble one time and then they'll do a 360 spin move. And but they're so excited and so enthusiastic. And so we're going to do some things that, you know, hopefully this year that are similar to what we did last year. We're going to tweak some things and do some things different. Hopefully do some new things. And, you know, I never will forget when Pete Maravich came into basketball. People saw things they'd never seen before. Now, for those of you who are not sports fans, this doesn't mean a thing to you. But there was a guy who played in Louisiana. His name was Pete Maravich. He was a white guy. He could do things with a basketball that were absolutely incredible. He's the guy that started dribbling behind his back and between his legs and throwing behind the back passes and doing stuff before coaches even thought anybody ought to put that stuff on the court. And he was ridiculed for Showtime, but he was very innovative. And now people are using a lot of these moves regularly that people boot him out of the gym for. Really, because he would be dribbling down the court and throw a behind-the-back pass, and his own teammate would get hit in the face with it, you know, because he's not expecting it to come. I want us to be innovative and creative, because I believe the Bible says God does new things. It doesn't mean that you can't continue to do some of the things that work really well, capitalize on strengths. But sometimes it's good for us to break out and try something new, something different. And God has so many ways to get the same message of His love across. And we want to be a part of that. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. You've had time now to get there. I hope that you'll turn with me and we'll read it together. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Well, as a kid growing up, I knew that Peter's name meant the rock. And so for the longest time, I thought, I kind of took that at face value, and it was like, you know, Peter was one of the main disciples, and so I thought Jesus was saying to Peter, "Peter, you're my man. I'm going to build the church on you." That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. Peter was an important person. And as I've gone through all kinds, in 35 years, all kinds of training about church growth and things, you know, they're always having some new program or some new something that would help you to build the church. Well, an interesting thing has happened in the last few years. They've started saying to us, "You don't build the church." And so part of the problem is we can think of all the programs in the world, but if we're trying to do work that's not our work to do, then we're probably spinning our wheels and maybe wasting our time. Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." You know what he was saying? He was emphasizing that what Peter had just said, he didn't know from his own wisdom. The fact that he said, "You are the Son of the living God." Jesus said, on that statement, on that faith, on that belief, every person who comes to believe and accept that truth will help the church to increase. And I will build my church. And so what I want to say to you this morning is, as we think about church growth, and obviously we want the pews to be full and not empty. We want everybody who doesn't know Jesus to know Him. We want people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be a part of the body of Christ and be a part of His church. But God did tell us some specific things to do. Building His church was not one of them. But what He said is, on this rock, upon this faith, upon this belief, upon this trust in Me as the Son of God, if you'll do the things that I tell you to do, the church will grow. I will build My church. So here's what I want you to do. So what I want to share with you this morning are just some simple directives that I believe God left behind for us to follow. And if we follow those directives, I believe God will build His church on those things as we live out our faith. The first of those things that I would bring your attention to this morning is found in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Can I remind you that in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, were these words? "To seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And if you read the previous scriptures that lead into that verse, it's talking about all the things of life that we spend a lot of our time trying to accumulate or to procure. And what He says is, if you will put Me first, I will bring balance to all the other areas of your life. And I will provide for you. If you'll follow My direction, if you'll follow My teaching, if you'll put Me first, if you'll pursue a relationship with Me and follow My word, everything else is gonna be okay. I believe the same is true of His church, because He said, if you lift Me up, if you lift Me up, I'll draw the rest of the world. You see, the fact of the matter is, Jesus is attractive. Now, I know Isaiah says that there was nothing attractive about Him. When it comes to physical looks, as an Arab, he was the typical guy, you know, probably a wiry frame. The truth of the matter is, in all likelihood, Jesus did not look like a North American with long, flowing chestnut brown hair. He probably was a wiry kind of guy, and maybe had some black scraggly hair, maybe a little mustache or beard or something. And he could have maybe had a little pitted complexion because of the sun and the wind and all the stuff. And so the truth of the matter is, when it comes to a picture, we probably don't have an accurate picture of what Jesus looks like. But what we do know is what His person looks like. Because we have His teachings and we have His word. We have all these things about how He loved unconditionally and sacrificially. And so if we put Him first in our lives, and if we try to portray through His teachings, through living out His word, if we try to portray Jesus to the world, they will get a picture of what it is they need to get a picture of. It really isn't important how long His hair was or what color it was or whatever. That has nothing to do with the plan of salvation. So sometimes we can get hung up in all the wrong stuff. But if indeed we want to be obedient to God and we want to see the church increase and God have the opportunity to build the church, it'll be because we rightly represent Him to our culture. That we give them an appropriate picture of who He is by living our lives in His image. In other words, if we look like Jesus, and since we don't know physically what He looks like, it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what color our hair is, if we have any. What matters is, does the world see love? You see, because if we love God first, then God's love, by virtue of relationship, will flow through us. And if we understand what God's love looked like, when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, and we begin to live that out, there's an amazing verse. I went through a period of time in my early ministry where I wanted the power of God in my life. I wanted the power of God. And I wanted to be able to get on the platform and preach. I wanted the power of God, you know, to come on people. I've learned to talk like that so I could preach that way. And then I read a verse that just laid it right out in front of my face. And it wasn't at all some of the things that I thought about when I thought about the power of God and becoming a divine healer or doing this or being able to pray down fire or whatever. Let me turn your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And if you take out all those prepositional phrases and commas, it reads something like this. For the message of the cross is the power of God. You know what the message of the cross is? For God so loved the world, he sent his Son. The message of the cross was unconditional, sacrificial love. The message of the cross is the power of God. When we live out love sacrificially and unconditionally, other people are attracted to it. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. We need to be promoters of grace and purveyors of forgiveness. Let me ask you this question. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13... and begin at verse 4, and everywhere the word love is, if you place your first name in there, it would read like this. Gary is patient. Gary is kind. Gary does not envy. Gary does not boast. Gary is not proud. Gary is not rude. Gary is not self-seeking. Gary is not easily angered. Gary keeps no record of wrongs. Gary does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Gary always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Gary never fails. That's what the love of God looks like. And when I have surrendered my life to him and I have laid myself down and said, hey, it doesn't matter. Me doesn't matter. It's not about my hopes and dreams. It's not about my plan. God, I'm yours. I just want to look like you to the world. And I start living in love. Now, if you read the Bible in its entirety, you understand that discipline is a part of love. You understand that making right choices is a part of love. I mean, there's a lot of things. It's not just some ooey-gooey thing that has no boundaries or anything like that. Love has some rule and regulation about it. But when we love people, you know, you can say things to people that are true, and if they don't know that you love them, they'll be hurt. Sometimes when they know you love them, they'll be hurt, but they accept it because they know you love them. It's prefaced with love. And you've proven that. Therefore, you've earned the right to communicate with them in an honest, forthright manner. I'm telling you, the world needs us to communicate with them in an honest and forthright manner, tactfully and with love. The church has done far too good a job of condemning and becoming everybody's judge. Now, I'm not saying that we should approve of stuff that's wrong. But what I'm saying is, sometimes there's a better way to do things. Matter of fact, if we just follow the example of Jesus and think about all of the people that he ran into in his lifetime that were involved in deep sin and how he handled them, if we would handle people that way, there'd probably be a lot more people in these pews. Do you remember how he handled the woman he found in adultery? Do you remember how he handled Peter after he denied him three times? Do you remember? You go on and on and on. You remember how God handled the children of Israel every time they ran off doing their own thing? He was gracious and loving and forgiving, but he was stern in telling them, this is what I need from you, this is how I want you to go, and if you'll listen to me, you'll be better off. But always know that I love you. Always know that I'm ready to help you. And God's never asked us to do anything or send us on a mission where he said, now I'm going to sit up here in heaven and watch you go on. His Holy Spirit has gone with us and before us and prepared the way. When we love people that way, then I believe they're going to be attracted to him and his church. We need to forgive and to believe the best of each other first. Sometimes we don't want to forgive unless we think somebody deserves something. I want to ask you a question. Did God forgive you, and did you deserve it? Because you're supposed to respond to every other person and situation exactly that way. The way Jesus did to you. That's how we're supposed to live life. Matter of fact, isn't it interesting that we live in a society where we have now, to be quite honest, the tendency is, if an accusation is made, we don't wait to see if it's true or false. We now, instead of having to have people prove that somebody's guilty, we make them prove that they're innocent. We condemn them to start off with, and then we work backwards. Isn't it part of our own national understanding that people are innocent until proven guilty? And the truth of the matter is, didn't God forgive us when we were guilty? I'm telling you, if you love people that way, they'll want to fill these pews up. If they think there's a God in heaven who will accept them with open arms and love them in spite of their mistakes, that's not condoning their mistakes, but willing to forgive them and help them to become better and different, I think they're going to be attracted to that. So if we treat people exactly the way Jesus Christ treated us when we were coming with our sins to confess them, I think the world would be a better place. To love God first and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I believe that if we love that way, if we live out that love, that it's going to attract people to Jesus and it will build his church. And that's what he told us to do, was to love him first and others as ourselves. That was a direct command. And on that command, on that faith, on that life, he can build the church. The second thing was the Great Commission. That's what we know as the Great Commandment. The second thing is the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Familiar passage of Scripture. We've heard it over and over and over again. We're going to hear it one more time this morning. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What God told us to do was to go and share what we know with the world. To let them know that there's a God who loves them and forgives them. And in this passage are two things that are the work of the church, evangelism and discipleship. He said to go and make disciples. Now, I'm convinced that lost things matter to God. If you would turn to the book of Luke and get about the 15th chapter, you find an entire chapter that God has devoted to finding lost things. And if you read the 7th verse, it's kind of a key. It says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God is glad that every one of you are here. But now that you're here, he's still concerned with those who aren't here yet. And if God spends all of his time just paying attention to all your stuff, and he didn't give any attention to the lost, then nobody else would get in. God has the ability to take care of you and still bring them in. But he wants us to care about them as well. He wants us to evangelize. He wants us to go out and to win lost souls. Now, last year we talked about a thing a year ago, December, and we started a program called One for One in One. And I'm not sure that we want to really put up the statistics on that. So I think we can do better this year. And I don't think we want to toss that away. I think we want to embrace that and give it another go. What do you think? I think we ought to continue with the intention of one for one in one, don't you? One person winning one person in 1 year's time Every one of us wins one in 1 year's time. 2016 is the year. Don't let your past defeats keep you from accomplishing it this year. And if you won someone last year, don't think that you ought to just be able to say, ooh, stuck my thumb in the pie and said, what a good boy am I. As long as there are people that are lost, we need to be talking Jesus. Evangelism. If the lost matter to God, they should matter to us. And healthy homes and marriages reproduce. Healthy churches ought to reproduce as well. We ought to be bringing people to Christ. It ought to be part of our lifestyle. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says, he that wins souls is wise. That's God's endorsement. He likes for us to do it. So the Great Commission is evangelism, winning the lost, but it's also discipleship. He told us to go out and train these folks. I want you to listen to just some verses right quick where God spoke to the family and talked to them about their responsibility of raising children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says this, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And then if you look in Proverbs chapter 22, 6, it tells you that if you train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, you know that he'll not turn from that way. It's not a guarantee that every kid's going to be saved, but it's a guarantee that every kid's going to know how to be saved if you've taught them. And they can always find their way home, and he's always willing to receive them. And so it's a significant thought that we need to follow through on. And then if you look over in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Why do you think we offer Sunday school and small groups and Bible studies and prayer meetings and all kinds of things? Because we want to do everything we possibly can to get the Word of God into people's lives. Now, I'm just going to express, you know, Paul, a couple of times in the Scriptures, Paul says, "I say this," and he was kind of saying, "I got this thing in my craw, and I'm not sure that the Lord is a part of this, but I'm just going to write it down anyway with the rest of the stuff God told me to." So can I just share my frustration before they put me under and gas me? If people love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, why don't they want to learn as much about Him as they can? Why don't they want to take advantage of every opportunity to be inside the walls of His church when the teaching and training is going on? Why do they just come one time and say, "Oh man, I got plenty. I got more than I can handle for the rest of the week"? I don't really get it. That's enough of that. We need to train people up in the way they ought to go. We're to know and live the Word of God. How can we know and live it if we don't take time to get into it? Can you do what you don't know? So why not take advantage of every opportunity to gain something new, to learn something more? The great commandment is to love them unconditionally and sacrificially, to be promoters of grace and purveyors of forgiveness. The great commission is to do evangelism and discipleship. And then there is, and this is not one specific verse of Scripture, but it's what I call the great commitment. In regard to the great commandment and the great commission, there is the great commitment. I want you to listen to two passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And then if you look over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, you find that passage of Scripture that we are familiar with and have heard so many times if you've been in church any time at all. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." The great commitment is that we give our lives to God to do with what He wants, not for Him to bless what we want. The great commandment is to love God first and love our neighbors ourselves. The great commission is to go out and to win disciples and train them to obey the commands that God gave. And the great commitment is, I'll do it. Here I am. I'll do it. You tell me what you want, Lord, I'll do it. And so here are four things that I think will help us in the year of 2016, if we indeed will do them, to be the kind of people and the kind of church that God can build on. Number one, I think in the great commitment, we ought to attend faithfully. And I've already talked about that just a little bit. I'm not going to get hung up here. Hebrews 10:25, you know, is the preacher's favorite passage of Scripture when it comes to this. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. So they were having church attendance problems back in biblical times. People haven't changed much. You'd think as long as we've had the Bible, we'd get better at it. We need to attend faithfully. We need to give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And I just want to tell you, I think you excelled in the grace of giving in 2016. Maybe not every one of you, but as a church, as a body, you excelled in the grace of giving in 2016. And we were able to give turkeys to people. And we were able to give people the message of God. We were able to give people a good time on Saturday with a car show and the carnival. We were able to give cups of cold water, you know, during hot days at the ballpark. We were able to hand things out. A bug spray on the 4th of July and sunscreen. We just protected people in all kinds of ways. And that was all really cool stuff. And that meant something to the public. And it put the name of the church out there. But more than that, it put God out there. How many of you are sitting in the sanctuary this morning? I know we got some people gone. But how many of you are in the sanctuary this morning and came during that time, got connected to the church somehow in some way during that time between, say, June, the 1st of June last year, till the end of August? How many of you are here this morning? Okay, Gary and Erling back there. And then George is here. And there's Ray. So, hey, you know, aren't you glad all these folks are here? And aren't you glad there's some other new folk been trickling along behind them? Hey, man, that's what we're here for. We want more. I like big family. Big family, big fellowship. Big food. I like those deviled eggs. Give generously. Pray persistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. I believe that if we make prayer a focus of our personal lives, and if we do it corporately as a church, and I'm trying to get better at this, we're trying to give Bible study on Wednesday night, we're trying to kind of gear back a little bit some of the Bible study, we're trying to get more time into some more specific prayer so that Wednesday night becomes kind of like the old-fashioned prayer meeting to a certain extent, and so we're working on that. And I'm still having a hard time getting it all fleshed out, but we're trying to pray more, trying to talk more about prayer, we're trying to do more prayer, because I believe that when you bask things in prayer, they work better. Attend faithfully, give generously, pray persistently, and serve passionately. Here's the deal, folks. It's great to say, I want to be a part of a church that's winning souls. What you need to say is, I want to be a soul winner. Because if you're a soul winner, wherever you're going to church, they're going to have a soul winning church. Don't get that spectator mentality where you sit back and watch everybody else do the work. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We need to serve passionately. The great commitment is to attend faithfully, give generously, pray persistently, and serve passionately. Steve, I need Ray, Steve, I need you guys to help me here just a second. And James, maybe if you'll come and we just split these papers up and try to at least get one to each family. And then if you have leftovers, you get them out until you run out of them. What I want to put into your hands is just very simply a little visible helper for what's coming up and what you have the opportunity to be a part of as we try to be a lighthouse to our community. Now, on the top of this page, there's three slots there, and you see the one for one and one. If God is interested in lost people, we ought to be interested in lost people. So I want you to put down the names of three lost people you know. Now, somebody said to me the other day, somebody's been a Christian for a really long time, and they're one of my best friends, and they're one of the most godly people I know, and they said, I don't know any non-Christian people. That could be a problem fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we kind of, on purpose, need to know some lost people. And so if we're going to do a better job of fulfilling the goal of one for one and one, you need to know some lost people. And you need to pray for those lost people. And you need to talk to those lost people whenever you get a chance. Sometimes just regular conversations, but anytime you have an opportunity to bring God into the conversation in a natural way, not forceful, but in a natural way, that's a good thing. And so I want you to put three names in those blanks. If you only know one name to start out with, think of the first one. When you get the first one, think of some more. But just do whatever you can do, but have it in your mind. Let's at least everybody have one person this year that we think needs to know Jesus, and let's try to win them. And if they don't come to this church, it's okay, because even if they don't come to this church and they come to Jesus, they won't go to hell. I'm thinking that's a good thing. Okay? So then you've got a list of events that kind of go through the calendar year. Of things that are happening, from ladies' retreat starting in January to the budget meeting, the annual meeting, the nominating committees. These are part of electing new officers for the church year. Faith Promise Weekend is our mission giving challenge for the next year, and our physical year ends March 31st, and our new year begins April 1st, the physical year of the church. Now, here's something that we're going to do this year we haven't done. It's going to require people. Because the board just voted to do a NICSPO booth. NICSPO is a business exposition that the community of NICSA puts on, and I've been helping with the sound for that for several years now. But vendors can come in and put a booth up, and then from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, they just talk to people that pass by about whatever it is they're representing. And so the board has voted to put a booth in NICSPO, which will require some people to be there and tell people about the church. And so we'll be talking to you more about that and the opportunity to participate. We're just going to need some people who are just willing to stand in a booth for an hour or 2 hours or whatever until we cover that day, and just say, I like my church and I'd love for you to come. And if you don't have a church, and if you don't have a Savior, we got one of those too, and we're glad to tell you about that. And, just have conversations with people and say, if you don't have a place to go, we'd love to give you a place. If you don't have a family to belong to, we'd love to give you a family to belong to. And let them see some of the good things that we do, and we'll work on designing that booth and brochures and all that kind of stuff. But at any rate, that's going to happen this year. And one of the reasons they decided to do that booth is because we had just previously to deciding that decided to be a part of a simulcast that is available only to Nazarene churches. And as of Friday, I haven't looked at the website since, but as of Friday, we're one of two Nazarene churches in the state of Missouri that are currently hosting. Now, I look for that to start filling up a lot, because this flyer just came out a week or so ago. But it's a 4-day simulcast that will run March 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. It will be here at the church. We will simulcast a service in that will begin at 6 o'clock in the evening from 6 to 6:30. We'll be praise and worship with a band called Carrollton. You can look them up on YouTube. They have some great music. And they're going to lead praise and worship. And then at 6:30, special speakers will come on. There's a different subject for each night. March 1st is addiction. The speaker is Daryl Strawberry, who used to be the right fielder for the New York Mets. March 14th is on loss. Taya Kyle, the wife of American sniper Chris Kyle, will be the speaker. March 15th is adversity. Scott Rigsby, who is a double amputee Ironman triathlon competitor, will be the speaker about adversity. And then on the 16th, which is Wednesday night, Abby Johnson, who was the national president of Planned Parenthood for a period of time before she got saved, will be the speaker. So these are people who've held national positions of national notoriety. They're different subjects. We'd love for people to come every night, but it might be that you know somebody that could benefit from one of those nights. And what we want to do is we want to present this to the community. We'll put out PR. We'll put out promotion. So one of the reasons for having the NICSPO booth, we're going to promote the simulcast at that booth that day. And we'll have to have a lot of stuff out ahead of that, but we're going to use that as the final thrust to present that. We're going to try to share Jesus with our community. And so we're going to need people to be counselors. We're going to need people to invite. We're not sure. We're waiting on the promotional packet to get here, and we're gonna do the PR. It's gonna take some giving of time. It's gonna take some giving of money, and we're just incorporating all of this into the budget for the new year. But it's gonna require you to give as you've given this past year in order to make that budget come to pass. Because obviously it's gonna be a bigger budget than we had last year, and we were already looking at a $10,000 deficit when we started. So, but these are things that God has supplied. And we are not behind on anything, and so God has provided for everything. We are trying to do as much as we can. We lead right out of that simulcast 2 weeks into Easter. So that will have given us an opportunity to put ourselves out before our community. And if people don't have a church home and they happen to connect in some way to any of that simulcast, then maybe they'll come and be with us on Easter Sunday. You know, who knows? And then we're looking at doing some of the things that we've done. We'll pray for district assembly. That's always an important time. Cup of cold water, July 4th, VBS, God's Love giveaway. And we're looking at that event. We want to repeat something similar to what we did, but we're going to tweak some things there. There's some things that were brought to our attention, and we're taking a look at that. We're going to find a way to do that the best possible way we know how, to let people know that God loves them and to attract them. Faith, Family, and Fun Day is our carnival and car show. Pastries and prayer we're going to do again going into the year. Something that will happen this year that's not happened before ever, on 9/11, which is a Sunday, it's the 15th anniversary of the attack on the Twin Towers. The churches of this community will come together in the football stadium at Nixa High School. And we will invite all of Christian County. First responders will be there, law enforcement people, will be all kinds of people that will be there and be a part of this event. But the church is coming together to present the gospel to our community in a remembrance of 9/11. It's going to be a big thing, and it'll happen about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we will not have service that night, and we will go into this and be a part of that. That the Ministerial Alliance is sponsoring. A revival with Susie Schellenberger. Some of you may or may not recognize that name. Susie Schellenberger started out as a youth pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. She was hired by Focus on the Family to edit Brio magazine for a lot of years. And she's gone back into evangelism in the Church of the Nazarene. And we have her scheduled for our fall revival. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And on Saturday morning, there will be a women's conference that will be a part of that. And so here's a nationally known speaker that's coming in. We'll be right here in our church. And so that's going to be an exciting time. And then, of course, we're back into the holiday season, which brings us back to here. Is that kind of like do, re, mi? Now we're back to do. Whew. People are dying and going to hell. God chose us to prevent that. So we're going to do everything we can to do what He told us to do, so He can build His church. There's an old chorus. I just want us to close with this chorus. It's called, I Will Serve Thee. We're just going to sing it a cappella, okay? I think most of you know it's fairly simple. Mike may even be able to pull the words up for us if we give him a few seconds there. But it just says, I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You've given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You've given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why You died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. So we're going to sing that together. And so here's how I'd like to do this. We're going to start singing, and while you're singing, if you decide that you're in and you want to be a part of this again, and you'll pray and just ask for God to give you leadership and guidance and direction as to whether you should give time or money or participation or promotion or draw pictures or whatever, I don't know. But if you're in and you'll do whatever God asks you to do to see Him build His church by us doing what He asks us to do with the great commandment and the great commission by making a great commitment this morning, then as we're singing this song, I just want you to stand where you're at. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to the altar. I just want you to stand up where you are and say, I love God first. I love His church. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help depopulate hell and help people be saved, just like somebody gave me a chance to be. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I long for. You have given life to me. Thank you. We owe God everything. And He's willing to use us as part of His plan. That's a pretty special thing. He is the Son of the living God. And on that rock, on that statement, on that faith, if we will do what He says to do, He will build His church. Brother Steve, play a closing prayer for us, please.